It's not about being bad. In fact, some of the most high performance people are the people that run with a high nervous system. The accountability, the opportunity, and the empowerment, in my opinion, is when we can turn that volume down. And then within that, that is your starting point. You're not going to go to bed at 10 o'clock and do, you know, 6 minutes of deep breathing and with your lavender essential oils, if your body's in a fight or flight and you fed that all day long, right up to the bowl of ice cream before bed. So it's a very simplistic, but it's a huge opportunity that is, we're breathing anyway. So why not slow it down a few times through the day? And with practice, we're able to, before we even make decisions, small decisions like what we're going to have for lunch, or big decisions like whether or not, you know, we're going to go on that business trip, we can make that decision from a centered place of clarity.
This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As a naturopathic doctor and anthropologist, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people exactly like you. Your business, body, balance, and inner badass, these are the themes we are exploring. We all know what we're supposed to be doing with respect to lifestyle habits, but the reality is most of us don't stick with it. My guest today, Dr. Christy Lewis, is a holistic nutritionist and naturopathic doctor and a colleague that I have grown to love and admire for many, many years now. And her secret sauce in her practice and her approach to women's health in particular is helping people appropriately sequence the lifestyle elements and habits that we need to have in place to up-level our life and help us understand why we just don't do it. It's all well and good for us to share all the things you should be doing, but if you don't have a framework to actually make these habits stick, they aren't necessarily going to move your life forward. My interview today with Christy was fun, it was insightful, and it was tremendously practical. She is brilliant in all she does, and it is my pleasure to introduce you to my friend, Dr. Christy Lewis. Dr. Christy Lewis, welcome to the Entrepology Podcast.
Thanks, Megan. I'm so pumped to be here.
Well, I'm really, really stoked to be able to unpack the wisdom that that you have sitting inside you and have a really fantastic conversation around how we start to stack and strategically implement lifestyle medicine. And as you like to put it, you practice motivational medicine, which I absolutely love. So before we get into that and really start to get into the juicy details, can you give us a little bit of a background in terms of who you are and what led you to practice in this direction?
Absolutely. Yeah. So Megan, I don't actually come from the science background. I come from a business background. And so I shifted careers a while back, it's a couple decades ago now. And I really wanted to move into this concept of service. And I had found so much of my own personal growth with naturopathic medicine. So I left selling Lucky Charms and moved into medicine. And I was really, really struggling, moving through practice, you know, loving what I was doing, busy practice, working with thousands of people, and kind of got to this point where I was wondering, what kind of impact am I truly having? Like, why are people coming back? What motivates people to have these sustainable changes within their life that translates into this like optimal health? And what is it that kind of people that causes people not to do that? So that behavior modification. And as you know, so much of what we do is the coaching and the cheerleading and really trying to get people to make these lifestyle changes. And what is it that causes some people to excel in that and some people to continue to move back into old patterns? So this became like a really important question that I kept bringing up and wanting to understand the answer to, which led me to lifestyle medicine. I took a reflection on what am I actually yeah, what is it that I'm doing? And as much as it sounds quite simplistic with, you know, the huge education as well as experience that we as naturopathic doctors have, I really help people make choices. And part of making choices is figuring out where that starting point is for them.
Yeah, I really love this because I've had, it's not like I have random patients say this. I feel like a significant number of my patients will say this, where I haven't seen them in a while and they come in, they're like, I actually just needed to book an appointment so you would just like kick me back into gear because I'm basically where I was a year ago because I've slipped back into all of the choices I was making before. And so I know that, you know, people listening, if you're feeling like, oh gosh, am I the only one who can't stick with these changes? No, you're like the majority of people who can't stick with these changes. Absolutely. And this system of medicine doesn't work if we can't stay there. So I first want to unpack, like, what is it? How do we actually stay in the track of ongoing improvement versus falling back into our old ways? And then we're going to unpack things from there.
Okay. So the way I see it is that most people, myself included, are spending a lot of time in the sympathetic nervous system. So we're spending a lot of time in that fight or flight, highly reactive, highly responsive to really what's going on externally. So, you know, sit with me here and you know, walk, help, you know, as I walk through this, the patients are coming in and they're like already in this state. They're already in this, like, what can I do? What can I do? What do I need to do more of? Where should I be? Shaming themselves for not doing that one. That always is really a tough one to sit with because, of course, people are having a hard time. They're not giving themselves a hard time. And yet, you know, as a practitioner, I would really struggle with this fine line of asking them to do more. And so what dawned on me is when we're in this reactive state, how do we see the perspective? How do we see the clarity about what it is we actually want to be doing or potentially need to be doing to uplift our health? And so when the body is in this high drive, cortisol, adrenaline, noradrenaline, then we're not going to be able to not only see the choices, but be able to access them on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. It doesn't matter whether I'm talking to someone about their business or about their health. When there is a lack of clarity as to why they are engaging in that improvement, we just run circles around the issue.
Exactly. And it's habitual, right? Because typically, I don't know about you, but when I'm in a high reactive state, that's not the time I'm going to, you know, choose the green juice and the, you know, I don't know, kale salad. That's the time that I'm going to be grabbing the second coffee. And I find it so fascinating that we sort of perpetuate that. One would think that, you know, if we are in a highly reactive state and we are making choices throughout our day, that we would, you know, turn the volume down and make choices that would be reflective of bringing the body back into more of a centered, you know, posture. But we don't. We feed the cycle and then we shame ourselves or we wrong ourselves for not having the quote unquote willpower to, you know, ensure that we drink enough water through the day or that we meditate in the morning. So it's almost like, it's almost like an unfair advantage. It's like we're really not being kind to ourselves and working with our physiology as we set these goals to improve certainly our mental, emotional health, but in this example, our physical well-being.
Yeah, so I want to talk about willpower for a quick second, and I'm just gonna really call this out, and I don't mean to be like blatant about it, but willpower is total bullshit.
Yay!
Right? Like there's, and you're right. We shame ourselves. We're like, oh, so and so has so much more willpower than me. And I was, it's, let's just call it out. Like science will tell you unequivocally that willpower is total BS. Right? And you might have a bit of it in the morning, and that's going to be the highest degree you have, and then it diminishes. Your environment is going to dictate.
Yes.
Everything. Yeah. So
absolutely. And I'm going to challenge that, Megan, and it's your also your internal environment.
Oh, totally.
Right. So it's like the external, the cues we're getting, you know, how we move through habits, how we stack habits through the day, habits, choices, you know, using these words interchangeably, choices influence choices. So you get up, you have two coffees, you skip breakfast, you're, you know, 15 minutes late for work. that's setting the tone for your day. Of mm-hmm. course, you're going to choose a cheeseburger for lunch. That is the momentum that your body is riding on.
Yes.
So in my opinion, you know, willpower, I think maybe you and I can coin a different term, but is the things we choose to do. The will, we spend so much time focusing on all the things we're trying not to do or things that we're trying to avoid. Willpower is these, or the intention is really about moving into choices and habits that are going to start to fuel us into a momentum, a positive feedback loop of moving the day into, you know, impact and desired outcome.
I really love that. It's so simple, right? Is what are you going to choose to do versus choose not to do? And it's like improv. It's like saying yes versus saying no. There's a different energy to it. Yeah.
The reason why I love this approach, this lifestyle medicine component, is because it also allows the body to be along for the ride. Because when we talk about willpower and we talk about people, yes, of course, at the end of the day, the mental and the mind comes into, I will, you know, choose X, or I will move habitually into the direction of Y. But if the physiology is not along for the ride, that's just not fair. Not fair to yourself. Yeah.
It's so true. And I think one of the challenges is, you know, I've traveled a lot in the last 2 years back and forth to the United States. And I mean this with all due respect to our U.S. Listeners, but it is more difficult to access healthy choices in the general landscape of life in the United States than it is in Canada. And I'm more familiar with my environment here, granted. But the thing I always think about walking through an airport in the US is, oh my gosh, it's hard to be healthy here because there's so few options to say yes to. And I think that's part of the revolution that I think we all need to speak to, is that if we are going to move in a direction of environmental sustainability and health sustainability and lifestyle pieces, then the one responsibility we really have in this is we have to start asking for those choices to be around us. And we're so powerful as consumers, because you're right, our physiology is going, it's the fuel, it's like the rocket ship that's going to enable us to make good choices. And when we're not given an opportunity for yes, it makes it so challenging.
I absolutely agree with that. And, you know, to bring the empowerment back into that more from a, you know, patient-centered perspective is I do see patients leaving the practice feeling hopeful, and not just because they have, you know, the fresh new treatment plan in hand, but really my intention is to offer them another way of looking at it, another way of reframing that it's not about having to have the perfect diet or the perfect exercise program, that there is so much more to this. You know, really there is the idea of the better than choice. And sometimes the better than choice isn't always going to look like a perfectly planned meal. Can you bring in other elements of the lifestyle medicine? Can you look at your mindset in that? You know, how the studies show, you know, you can have two people eating an ice cream cone. One person is feeling very, very guilty, shameful, you know, about it. They're going to secrete cortisol. They're going to be secreting extra insulin. Their body's not going to be able to process and metabolize that ice cream for the same person who said, well, this is my better than choice in the moment. Perhaps that's because it's a social or a pleasure component, but there's so much more opportunity. I don't know about you, but as a naturopathic doctor and a holistic nutritionist, you know, there's, in my opinion, so much emphasis on food and movement. Believe me, I get it. Those things are incredibly important, but we're making choices every single day that don't revolve around food and movement, but can have huge impact on our overall well-being. So that's where I want to shed some light when I'm working with patients is, sure, yeah, I want you balancing your blood sugar. I want you to be, you know, drinking more water and, you know, moving in some form. can you reframe that to not be about, I am being good or bad, I am following a detox? I mean, how unfair, you know, an overworked, you know, woman, mom of two comes in and I as a practitioner tell her to do a detox, to do more. There may be a time in clinical practice to do that, but ultimately that's most likely for most of us not the starting point. So this opportunity is to say, okay, what other things can we be doing that have an impact on the health that aren't just about expecting yourself to do more, be better, be perfect?
So what are those things? Let's call those the secret choices, the hidden choices that we're making throughout the course of the day that really have a capacity to have massive, massive impact. It's like with our finances where it's like the latte effect, right? Stop buying $5 coffees every day. What are the hidden choices we're making with respect to our health that are getting us into where there's an opportunity for us to improve where we might not even know it?
I really believe it's the awareness of what's going on within your nervous system. I really believe that when we're aware of the impact that being in a chronic state of fight or flight, the adrenaline, the noradrenaline, I often say I have a job because of the fact that this component, the nervous system with the adrenal gland function and, you know, the cross communication that happens between the hormonal system, the endocrine system or the immune system or the digestive system. I have a job because I do think that conventional medicine so often misses this in not so much the symptom management, but as the sort of root cause or underlying negative impact that's having such a rippling effect on the overall physiology. And so ultimately with awareness, you know, and that is as trite as it sounds. So, you know, I want to talk medicine. I want to talk about, you know, cortisol and, you know, immune function, digestive health. But at the end of the day, so much of what happens when we are in a highly reactive state is involuntary. So you are late for your meeting. You really, so much about that is going to be involuntary from a physiological perspective. Everything that happens in your body from, you know, the increased perspiration to the heartbeat fasting or the heart beating faster to the shortness of breath, all of that is very involuntary with one exception. And this is going to sound so simple and so trite, but the breath. And the amazing thing about the breath is that four breaths of an inhale and an exhale, studies show, put us back into parasympathetic. So as much as this sounds very basic, it's huge. If we can start to cue ourselves, and I love the idea of transitions, you know, as we're transitioning from dropping the kids off, you know, before the meeting, after the meeting, when we're going to the bathroom, before we eat, what we're doing is we're constantly reminding our nervous system, our body, because quite frankly, we've lost this. Has anyone ever told you to relax, Megan, when you're stressed?
No, never. No one's ever told me to relax.
Like, how does that work for you, right? Like, we can't just all of a sudden snap our fingers and say, okay, I'm gonna relax. I'm gonna move my body into parasympathetic. I'm gonna move into the relaxation response, and I'm going to. No, it's a practice. It's an art. It's the same as if you asked me to do this interview in Latin. I couldn't do it without a lot of practice. So this is what's happening. We live in this society which is so fueling this chronic state of fight or flight, and God bless that. That's why you and I get shit done, right? Yeah. It's not about bad. It's not about being bad. In fact, some of the most high performance people are the people that run with a high nervous system. The accountability, the opportunity, and the empowerment, in my opinion, is when we can turn that volume down. And then within that, that is your starting point. You're not going to go to bed at 10 o'clock and do, you know, 6 minutes of deep breathing and with your lavender essential oils, if your body's in a fight or flight and you fed that all day long, right up to the bowl of ice cream before bed. So it's a very simplistic, but it's a huge opportunity that is, we're breathing anyway. So why not slow it down a few times through the day? And with practice, we're able to before we even make decisions, small decisions like what we're going to have for lunch, or big decisions like whether or not, you know, we're going to go on that business trip, we can make that decision from a centered place of clarity.
We as practitioners and on this podcast have talked about breath before. Mm-hmm. And I feel like for sometimes with people, they're like, oh, it's like drinking water. And it's like, yeah, it's like drinking water. You have to do it.
Exactly.
So, and I will put this in the show notes because I can't remember what episode it was, but we did, it was in July. We talked about a heart rate variability and we had the founder of Leaf on our podcast, and Leaf is a heart rate variability monitor you wear all day. And I was telling this story to our audience that when I had the Leaf on, so it's measuring that sympathetic nervous system. It's measuring whether or not we're in fight or flight, and it buzzes before you would otherwise know. I was getting this like warning buzz every day at 4 o'clock, and I was like, what is going on? I'm wrapping up my day. I'm going to go get my kids. Like, I kind of, at first I was like, it's wrong. And then, and then it was happening every day. And I was like, oh, okay. And what I realized I was really bad at was transitions. I was really bad at, you know, I was in work mode all day, and then I had to go get my kids. And it was actually stressful to my system. And so what corrected that heart rate variability piece, I literally would stop and I would do box breaths, which was taught to me by another meditation expert. Anyway, and Susie, I'll throw that episode into the show notes as well. But what we did is a count of four breathing in, hold for four, count of four breathing out. And I would literally watch my heart rate variability climb. And so it took me less than 20 seconds to put myself back into a parasympathetic state. It's unbelievably powerful when you stop and do that. And we've now seen with the Leaf that if you chant Om, this is where these ancient cultures have these incredible tools, and now we're unpacking it. When you chant Om, you move into that parasympathetic state even faster, which may or may not be appropriate for your work environment. But it's so powerful. You're completely shifting your operating system with breath in less than 20 seconds. And there is not a single person on this planet who doesn't have 20 seconds to breathe. Like, if you're not breathing and you're negating this advice, guys, you are missing out on the opportunity to be a high performer.
100%. And I mean, my intention with every single person that I work with on a one-on-one basis in my private practice is, what's the least we need to do to get the biggest impact? Mm-hmm. And to me, this is, as I said, it's so influential with the other components. I mean, certainly around quality of life and health. The thing that I find so as a huge opportunity and edge of growth for so many of us is that, you know, before you feel the need to do a, 21-day detox, before you need to do the need to do, you know, train for a half marathon, and it doesn't mean that we don't access these incredible goals, but this piece, we really want to address that if we want to set ourselves up for success, because without that, we are constantly making decisions that involve our, like our choices, and have this rippling effect from this heightened reactivity. And they're not going to be ones that are going to be nurturing. They're not going to be ones that are going to be nourishing. Mm-hmm. So it's such a huge opportunity as a practitioner, and certainly as people who are wanting to live a different life, who are wanting to choose differently, but find themselves time and time again stopped with this. And, you know, it does bring in the concept of self-care. And I don't know about you, Megan, but I'm hearing a lot about self-care, and I've been doing a lot of reflection around, what does that actually mean? And in my opinion, self-care is really the small things we do every day that allow us to access this relaxation. I really believe that that's, at the end of the day, fundamentally what we're looking at when we're trying to really support our bodies.
They say that you are the product of the five people with whom you spend the most time. Imagine you could spend time with hundreds of fellow entrepreneurs and go-getters looking to up-level their business, body, and mindset. The Entrepology Collective does not belong to us. It belongs to you. Come hang out with us on Facebook and let us collectively inspire, support, and cheerlead you towards your vision for contribution, your commitment towards better health, and your journey of mindset mastery. We are in this together. We are entrepreneurs by birth, by choice, and by mission. We are the Anthropology Collective. Search for us on Facebook and come join your tribe. Yeah, it's so powerful. I did a masterclass with Yasher Kolrashahi, and we talked about the physiology and science behind self-care, which is not necessarily sitting in a bath with lavender.
You got it.
But it starts with that talk around self-compassion, and it's so interesting to me to hear all of these practitioners I respect are like, listen, I've got totally advanced, sophisticated tools we can pull out. Mm-hmm. But if people aren't doing these fundamentals, it's like billboards are up in front of us saying, do this. And we're like, we're just driving by them.
Well, and I think it is quite fascinating as a practitioner who has been, you know, doing this for, you know, 12, 13 years now and has a very busy practice and opportunities to, you know, look at this. And it's almost like talking people, simplifying, you know, people want these sexy plans. They want these, you know, expensing testing. And don't get me wrong, there are times and place for these things. And certainly we want to, as primary care providers, rule out any primary concerns for some of the things that are going on. But when we move to the basics, I mean, the end of the day, I help people make choices. And it's one of those, you know, sort of the more you learn, the more you simplify. And I'm with confidence now say, yeah, that's what it is I do. That's my practice style. And that's where I believe the big impact is, because anything else is really trying to, you know, build a house without a solid foundation. And I really think that that's, you know, and we can tie, much like your previous guests have done, we can tie all of this back to the impact on the physiology, the impact on the other body systems, and really the cross communication that's happening. My area of focus, my juice in this is, you know, really, and what are the habits that are happening when we're in this state? So we know the cause of the stress response. We know the cost of being in fight or flight. As we're trying to get out of that, as we're all trying to live better lives, what's the access point? Where do we start? Because with an information overload right now, I mean, there's just so much content out there. Moving that into context and what that means and how to access that, we really want to be able to say, okay, not what to do, but, you know, how and why do I start here?
Right. What are some, everyone driving, I need to just take a deep breath right now.
Yes, myself included.
Yeah, right? What are some of the other hidden choices and opportunities that we have throughout the course of the day? So breath is definitely one of them. What are some of the other fundamentals that you want to make sure people are considering?
Yeah, and I love that you, I will definitely move on, but breath during transition, right? So I think that that's a really important one, right? So having those cueing and those different times where we can really bring it into like habit where we're stacking these habits one on top of the other, so it becomes second nature. So I think that's incredibly important. I do think when we look at sleep, I think we want to start to challenge our sleep quality from more the idea of, is it restorative sleep? So, you know, the idea that passing out, you know, when we sort of crash on the couch or we fall asleep with our kids, that is actually not restorative sleep. So I think there's huge opportunities when we think about the quality of sleep and the idea that, you know, if you are waking up not rested, if you are waking up feeling early morning rising, that this potentially has everything to do with what your state, what your posture was in when you were falling asleep. So realizing, you know, for many years, I thought that sleep was, you know, very passive, that this was just something that would, you know, sort of automatically, it was some passive time in our day. And we do actually have to be a little bit active from the perspective of cue the body into more of that yin state, allowing, you know, the cortisol once again to drop and in allowing melatonin to rise so that we can move not only into falling asleep, but actually falling into a restorative sleep. And I think that is something that is a really important component when we think about foundationally, you know, I don't know about you, but when people come into practice and they're not sleeping well, it's like, hold everything. Mm-hmm. We really need to focus on the sleep quality to ensure that we are not bringing this stress response or this heightened reactivity into the day. So it's the resetting of the physiology that happens at night that allows us to move into the day where we're able to be more in a less reactive state.
How do you measure restorative sleep in your practice? Like, how do you assess that?
Yeah. So for me, I am a practitioner that works a lot with symptoms, right? And so for me, restorative sleep will often look like whether or not they are struggling with things like weight management, energy. Certainly, you know, people are using different technology, different ways to assess that. I tend to not be a doc that practices with these types of things. They're cool tools. I like them as information, but I tend to like to spend my time with patients understanding the presentation. So if someone's coming in, certainly with, you know, I'm having a difficult time falling asleep, I'm waking up every day at 3 a.m., I'm sleeping, you know, 8-9 hours, but I'm not having good quality sleep, then we start to dissect that and how interestingly that could be contributing to some of their symptoms. And so sort of doing that reverse on what are they showing up with in practice with the symptom, and how do I then address that with the potential sleep issue that could be the root cause or contributing to what's happening in their body.
Yeah, it's such a great, it's a great perspective. I think sometimes we get overly interested in what the data around our systems mm-hmm. are telling us. And we completely negate the fact that we actually have a symptomatic dashboard. We have evolved with a capacity to know and read our own body. And you do not necessarily need the latest technology to know whether or not you're rested. Because I've had patients who are like, you know, I feel like crap today, but my Oura Ring says I'm fine.
Right.
I'm like, okay, like round one, yeah. we need to connect. What are some of the, I know you've got sort of six key lifestyle habits that you're like, these things have to be dialed in. What are those? Let's keep unpacking those.
So we've got the sleep, we've addressed. So restorative sleep, the stress component and you know, the kind of concept like, oh, we've already talked about, but you know, in that, I just want to take a second to really, you know, as you talk about, unpack this word of stress management. And I'm not a fan of that term, because I feel like, you know, the stress management implies that there is this sort of there's sort of this control that we need to be doing with our external environment, mm-hmm. that there's something we need to be changing. And I certainly think we can influence our choice making, but you know, there are phases, seasons, times in our lives when we are, you know, raising children, we are working, you know, busy jobs, we are pushing our careers forward, and we are very busy. And so for me, the stress management is more of a shift of an internal environment. This, you know, the things we've talked about already, the empowerment, not around what do I need to manage differently externally in my to-do list, but how do I manage it internally and how I am receiving the stress and how I am staying in more of a centered place as the stress comes at me. So those two components are huge. That's really, to me, the starting point, the foundation. Nutrition, of course, nutrition. I mean, I love nutrition. It's a starting point for so, or it's a concept point for so much of the health, our health components here. But the reality is that I want to focus on nutrition relative to those other components. So if someone's not sleeping well, if they're not managing their stress, you know, internal stress or the physical stress, and it's impacting their health, then we're looking at nutrition more from the perspective of how do we support those two. So nutrition, I'm again, people either love working with me or don't. I got nothing sexy here. I'm not a fan of, you know, all the keto and the intermittent fastings and a lot of these identity diets that are coming out. There are times and place for therapeutic diets. As a naturopathic doctor, there are times and place, but as a lifestyle component, I think, come full circle. And when you've done something long enough and worked with enough people, you start to build confidence around what works, not necessarily what's on trend. And so 3 meals a day, three macronutrients, nothing overly sexy beyond balancing blood sugar and making sure that we're not fueling our stress reaction by adding nutritional stresses in the body. So nutrition, I work a ton with as a foundation, but as a foundation to balance the physiology, not as the nutrition as being the holy grail of the thing that's finally going to make me feel, change everything for me. Movement, same component. Really, the idea that when we're moving, we want to be very mindful as to what posture, what season, what state we're in. So we don't want to, we don't want to run when run when we're already running from a bear all day long. And so we don't want to feed this system and create more imbalances, even when, you know, goals are looking so sexy, like the right thing. There are times and places for, you know, Ironman triathletes. You just have to go inward and say, and also look at your symptoms and understand, is my foundation strong enough to handle these things? And I think as high driven people, and when the reaction, the high reaction is high, excuse me, the reactions are high, the tendency is to do more. So often at the times when we need to do less, as it relates to movement, we want to do more. And so more meaning higher intensity. So I think we want to look at those aspects, and then finally mindset. So, and again, without sleep and stress, balanced blood sugars and movements that's supporting your body for what you're asking it to do on a day-to-day basis, it's really hard to find mindset that's going to support you in this.
What's your philosophy on supplementation adjacent to some of these foundational pieces?
Awesome. Yeah. I love supplements. It's our medicine, right? So supplements, I work with, I utilize, absolutely. I find supplements help to access some of these things. So meaning, if someone's not sleeping well, then of course I'm going to look at supplementation as a way to support their process. So if they are, you know, early morning risers, I'm going to look at how do I bring cortisol levels down, before they go to bed. You know, if they're having difficulty falling asleep, how do we transition, whether it be using Nervines or, other sort of things like melatonin, to really help to turn down the volume and allow them to fall asleep. I feel like supplements are such, that's why I love what we do, Megan, because we can talk this stuff. We can ask people to, breathe through the day. We can ask people to, focus on restorative sleep, but then we also have these wonderful tools to not as a way to override or to be stronger as a tool to the choices that they're making, but to support the choices. So my supplementation, this is how I practice now, Megan. I mean, people come in, and I literally go through each of these lifestyle components. I bring in aspects and accessibility, not 55 things, one, two things that they can really work on, biggest bang, smallest change, and the supplements that can support them in the area of opportunity, the area that would bring them the biggest return.
Hey, you, if you're a colleague, if you're a practitioner, if you are seeing patients, if you are looking to up-level your impact in the health and wellness space, I wanted to let you know that we are hosting one heck of an amazing event taking place on November 21, 22, 23 in Toronto. Impact Lives is our signature flagship event that takes place on an annual basis, and it is a coming together of some of the most impactful people in the health and wellness industry. Over the 3 days, we are unpacking the mindset that has been holding you back from achieving the impact you have always dreamed of. We are spending a day looking at new tactics and techniques, some of the things that people are using in a cutting edge capacity to take their impact and their practice to the next level. And if you want to join us for our VIP bonus day, we are going deep in a workshop setting, 6 different workshops to up-level your mindset, your business, and your impact. Impact Lives is an incredible experience. And our promise to you this year is that when you walk through the door, you will not be capable of leaving as the same person you were when you arrived. If you want to learn more about how you can participate in Impact Lives, check us out online, www.impactlivesevent.com. I cannot wait to see you there. A great balanced perspective. What are your three key action steps that you want to give people today as they start to really hone in? It's the start of the school year. It's this time where we get dialed in on our habits. What are three key things that you want to give people to do right now in starting to make these shifts?
I love it. Okay. So number one would be really to transitions, right? Like you and I've talked about already. To bring that awareness into what are you doing as a how do you breathe? You know, can you bring in the box breath? Can you bring in, you know, a hand on the belly, a hand on the heart, three times a day? Can you start to get curious around when you turn the volume down with the heightened reactivity, what do you see happen? Both in your physiology, but in your choice making. So absolutely with that, I would definitely encourage people to look at balancing their blood sugar. So really ensuring that those two key times, the studies show that ensuring that you're having your protein in the morning, you know, eggs, a smoothie, you know, Greek yogurt, whatever that is, as well as mid-afternoon. So, you know, that you're able to balance your blood sugars through this behavior so that now you're able to work with this number one priority, in my opinion, which is to access breath. So you're working these two things. And then the last thing would be is really this sleep idea and picking one, not 15, but maybe one concept around, can you move your body from a very yang? We're all yanging out, but can you move your body into yin, from yang into yin? And that can be, you know, by doing, you know, having a tea or having a warm bath or listening to a progressive meditation before bed. Even as I'm saying this, I'm feeling like it's a little bit anticlimactic. You know, it's so simple. It's like, wah, wah. Really, this woman's gone to school for this many years and has been in practice for this long. But the reality is that these things, if you were to listen to this and walk away and try it out, and I would even encourage pick one. Right? I'm a big fan of let's do one thing and do it really well and then build. That's a really big shift as a naturopathic doctor in practice, is realizing that less is so often more, but is, you know, bring that breath in through the day, commit to the blood sugar balance. I don't care what you eat for the rest of the day. I really don't. I don't care if, but you compose, the focus is what are you having more of? What are you choosing to include to make sure that things are stabilized on that level? And then ensuring that you're giving yourself a fighting chance to have a restorative sleep.
Yeah, these are great. And for the people, I'm going to challenge our listeners, because there are people driving who are like, I've heard this before. And I'm going to say to you, I'm going to call you out on that and be like, but are you doing it? And see, this is the thing in general. Yeah. And it doesn't matter whether it's health or business. You get people who say, oh, yeah, I've heard this coach speak, and they've got, like, they're saying to do this, and I know all of that stuff. And I'm like, but there's a difference between knowing it and doing it. And there's a reason that we hear these things all the time, because guess what, guys? 90% of people are not doing it, even though they know it. So I'm just really going to challenge people to actually start to do these three things. Do them for a week and then actually let us know how you feel.
Yeah, and I agree. I mean, I will often say I feel like I'm a bit of a, you know, a dancing monkey in practice, because there's a lot of cheerleading. There's a lot of hand waving, because I'm sure it comes through in sort of the passion around this. And it's folks out there listening, this isn't from, you know, and there's no ego in this. This is from, like, experience. This is from seeing what works in practice. And quite frankly, as a practitioner, getting to a point professionally where I felt like, I don't know if what I'm doing is impactful. I don't know if, you know, asking people to do cleanses and asking people to, you know, take, you know, different, do even some of the testing, if that's really impacting. I had to reevaluate as a practitioner what was working and what wasn't, and coming to a place which, you know, again, is unsexy, and as much as we heard it, is so simplistic. And when we build, the cool thing about this is when we build this foundation, anything is possible, right? This isn't about, okay, and this is it. No, this is your starting point. So if you want to run that, you know, do that Ironman, you want to start that business, you want to, you know, have that family, it's from this starting point. This is an end game. This is starting point. And we do this, and then everything we build from here becomes so much more impactful and comes with ease. We're not willpowering our way there, quote unquote. We're actually moving in that direction because the choices are influencing the choices in such a natural momentum.
Boom. What a perfect place to transition. Right? All right. We are on fire, everybody. Okay.
Fire me up, Megan.
Let's transition. There's the second component of the interview, and it's super quick. I call these our KPIs or key performance indicators. So just like we have them in our business, I believe that we have them in how we execute on our health. And we've talked about a lot of them, but I want to get a little bit of insight around you. So I've got a few quick questions for you. First one, who is inspiring you right now?
I love Rachel Hollis. I love her books. I love Girl Wash Your Face and Girl Stop Apologizing. So one thing, I have a six-year-old, and my daughter is apologizing a lot. She's saying sorry a lot, and not in a manipulative six-year-old way, God bless. Just real, and it's what's really bothering me. I was like, oh my goodness, like she's only six, and she's apologizing for she hasn't done anything wrong, you know. And I was like, oh my goodness, what is this? And I said to her, sweetheart, like why are you doing that? Like, why are you? And she said, because mommy, you do it. Whoa. So I was walking through chapters and I saw that book, and she actually kind of popped in when you were talking about, I was listening to her audiobook and I was like, I know this. I could have wrote this, all ego aside. And it's like, that's what came to me, is simple's not easy. And the reminders of this. So I love her work, and I'm really, she's got me momentum. I was playing around with this, and I too have a very beginning days podcast, and it really is the courage within the community, and also the community. And this is not just smoke and mirrors, Megan. Really, the community you're creating and seeing, you know, all these women move out of their comfort zones and really, you know, go for it despite the fears, and go for it despite the imposter syndrome. I'm sitting here doing this. I have a huge knot in my stomach. Probably, you know, your audience can feel and hear that, but I'm doing it. And so it's that type of energy I want to be around, uplifting women.
I love it. And no, we can't hear it at all.
Okay.
Fiction or nonfiction? What are you reading right now? What's your preference?
Fiction right now. I'm reading Cutting Stone. It's a book from 1998. I can't remember the author, but I love fiction. I love, my mind is a busy one, Megan. I love putting concepts together. I'm processing all the time. I'm very observant. Before I go to bed, old school, with an actual paperback book, or if I have the luxury of a bath, I love to read fiction.
It's so interesting because I feel like for the first 100 episodes, not a single person read fiction. And then in the last, I don't know, few months, I've just had like more and more fiction readers in my purview. So I'm not trying to draw correlations here. I'm really fascinated by it. It's inspiring to me.
I love devouring books. I love getting lost in other people's lives and characters. And it's, you know, I find it a beautiful stress relief. I find it beautiful to sort of be in the dynamics of characters. And I actually, and this is true fact, is I've moved away even from TV at night. I'd be lying if I said my phone isn't close by. And, I try to keep it out of the media. But I do, so it's not a goal to not have any sort of technology around me before bed. But I'm actually more interested right now. I find more excitement in reading than I do watching TV right now.
So cool.
A good book. Hey, you always need to have a good book by your side.
You do. Mm-hmm. What is the one thing you are most consistent with respect to your health?
With my health, drinking water. I drink water. I drink 2 liters. In fact, I'll Instagram this in my story. You know, one of those huge, my friends call it obnoxious, those huge 2 liter water jugs. I'm a bit of a gym rat. Yeah, I go to the gym a lot and I carry that around because to me, 2 liters, I do drink coffee. I do. And it's this 2 liters a day. I find it's huge. Again, it sounds so simple, but it's huge for me. So that's the one thing I do. The other thing I do, which is for my health, but also I have found incredibly impactful in propelling me forward, if you want to call it that, with my clarity around my own messages, writing. I've committed the last 3 months, Megan and I worked together for a while, and she was incredible, and inspiring in helping me move my career forward or my vision forward. But one thing I've been doing, Megan, in the last 3 months is writing every single morning. Every single morning I write, and it's been not journal, the things I say every day in practice, the things that people come in and go, hey, when you said X, this made me feel Y. I really resonated with this. Things that patients have come in and said, oh, my therapist said this. And so these inspiring ideas that show up every day in the work that I am so blessed to do as a naturopathic doctor and the sharing that happens, in that space. So it's, those are the things. That's me.
Amazing.
Right now, this season.
Right this season. What do you do for fun or play?
I love to swim. We have a pool in our backyard. I love hanging out with my daughter and my husband. Oh, my husband. Yeah. So we hike, we bike, we swim. We're really an active family. I recently got a dog, a golden doodle, fun. Right? And God bless her. I'm doing this and she, I'm in Ottawa. So this is via distance and she didn't bark. Thank goodness. That was my big worry throughout this. But yeah, so hanging out with my support, my loves. That brings me so much joy.
And last question for you, entrepreneurism. Are we born this way or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
Oh, man. I feel like I was kind of born this way. I feel like not to dissect this question, says the analytical one, but I feel like I was born with this insatiable drive, and in a way that I've had to find my own center within it. In a way that I've always had to ask my question. I've recently, pardon me, asked the question: when I start something new, what's my intention? Is it coming from a place of worthiness, or coming from a place of worthlessness? And making sure that all the things that I'm working towards, professionally and personally, when I'm goal setting, is coming from a place of enough. And so, the drive for me, I mean, always, I've always wanted to, to the point where it was sort of, annoying for people around me. God bless, I found my people that see me and love me for this, but it is this need to be in movement and momentum and to learn and to grow and to evolve. And I think that naturally looks like being an entrepreneur because, you're not in a box. You're not leaving that corporate world behind. Many thought I was crazy, very stable, big job, big salary, company cars, and leaving that to become a naturopathic doctor was scary, but also so freeing because then I could create the life I wanted, both professionally and then personally.
Amazing. I love that answer. I love the passion behind it. Dr. Christy Lewis, it has been a pleasure having you here this morning.
Oh, Megan, thank you so much. This is a huge opportunity for me to chat with you. And I just love what you're putting out in the world. So yeah, keep going, girl. We need you.
Well, thank you. And I know people are going to want to learn more about what you are up to. Where can we send them to hear more about what you are doing?
Yeah, so ChristyLewis.ca is where you can find me, and I am right now podcasting my own series. So I've got episodes on all these lifestyle medicine components. They're short, sweet, about 10, 15 minutes. Promise you they're not a bunch of what more you should be doing. The intent is to inspire and support, looking at if we all know what to do, then why aren't we doing it? So you can find that at Dr. Christy Lewis, and reach out. I'm on Instagram, and I'd love to hear from you.
Fantastic. Well, we will hook everyone up with the links to everything you are doing and some of the other podcast episodes that we referenced in today's show. Christy, thanks for being here.
Oh, thanks, Megan.
If you enjoyed today's episode as much as I did, I would love to hear from you. Two places. You can leave a review over on Apple Podcasts, and I'd love to hang out with you over in the Anthropology Collective. Head over to Facebook, look up Anthropology Collective, and come hang out with badass women just like you. If you want to get your hands on some of the resources and links to the podcast episodes that we mentioned in today's recording, you can go over to my website, MeganWalker.com/podcast/episode-136. Until we chat again, go build something amazing.